Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Karen, come up here. Bring the Bible. I forgot it on the front pew. Now, Rick and I had this discussion, and he about fired me as your pastor. I said, I'm sorry, I married the world's greatest lady. But she's here. We finally got this move. Yeah, you do that. That's fine. We got this horrendous move done yesterday. There's the word, there's the phrase, bring order out of chaos. We got to make chaos first out of all. Shut up, Rick, you're quiet. We got to make chaos out of what's there before. We can make order out of it. But thank you, one and all, for helping us. We simply could not have done it without all of you. And we had pizza and we had a lot of things going yesterday. So I have shared this with my leadership team. This is the best church I've ever been in. I shared this with somebody yesterday, and that is this. And you can get a mic because you're going to give greetings too. You didn't know it, but you will. I was in a church, connected to a church about 1,200, and this lady had been through horrible things, and she needed to move, and she asked for help, and three men showed up of 1,200. Three. We had 8 or 10 people on the property yesterday helping us. That's the kind of church we have. And if you're in the internet and you want a church that'll love you, if you're visiting, you want a church that'll connect with you. If you're just hungry for people who will accept you, sin notwithstanding, Jesus covered it all. But we will love you, we will accept you, we will scoot over. And we will affirm that you are a creation of Jesus Christ and you have value because you do. And so we want to say thank you to this church. Karen, you bring greetings even though you didn't know you were doing it.
Oh, okay. I just want to thank you all for the help yesterday and also for the prayers along this journey that's been 3 months in the process, it feels like.
It's been about six now.
Well, yeah, six since we first came, but it feels like we've been moving for 3 months. And yeah. So it's been a long process. As some of you may remember, when I was here earlier, I said that I was a pastor's daughter, and I was not in a normal pastoral family in that my...
Abnormal.
My dad graduated from seminary in 1958, and he retired from the ministry having lived in the exact same house in 1990. So he spent 32 years in the same community, and I don't know how to move. I really don't know how to move.
Amen.
hey. So thank you all for your prayers and for your assistance. For those of you, I know there were some of you praying this morning because every time I was looking for something, it was like, first box I opened, there it is. Yay! And as those of you who helped yesterday know, there are many boxes things could have been in. So the important things were where they were supposed to be, and
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Amen.
So anyway,
you
I'm here.
We found the toothbrushes, and you're all going to be glad for that.
Yes, we found the toothbrushes and the toothpaste, so that was a good thing. But I look forward to being among you now rather than being among you from afar, mm-hmm. And I am really excited to be here. So thank you all for your prayers and for your expressions of love. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
You can put that up. As most of you know, I always wear a coat. I've got to save it for the ordination time tonight, so I'm without a coat for the first time in I don't know how many years on a Sunday without preaching. In the Nazarene Church, we celebrate communion. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come as I'm talking for a few moments, please. And just go ahead and start. Go ahead, guys, if you would, go ahead and start distributing the elements. I was told I went a little too fast last time, and that's nothing new for me. And I don't say that to be funny. I just need to be aware. But in the Nazarene Church, we celebrate communion. Now, we have some visitors here or people that are not members here. That's okay. You do not have to be a member of the Nazarene Church to just simply be able to be part of us in this day and age of and in this time of communion. We want you to participate as long as you meet the following criteria. You're a child of God. That's it. We just believe that the body of Christ should celebrate the blood of Christ and the communion of Christ together. You can do it at home, you can do it wherever, but as a body of Christ, when you come into this denomination, into this church, we just want to extend the fellowship that belongs to you because you're a member of the body of Christ. We want you to know that you're part of it. We are not judgmental. We are not going to say you can't do it. We want you to know that you can do it, and we want to include you. So if you're looking, wondering what, that's where our stance is. This is one of the most sacred elements of times in the church. It is one of the most sacred sacraments of the church. Besides the blood of Christ itself, and Easter, we celebrate the communion to remember that as well. We have multiple services. We have multiple forms and rituals, but this, to me, is about the most sacred one, other than celebrating the fact that he came, born of a Virgin Mary, and that he died to rise again. He died on the cross, he rose again on the third day. This is number three to me, because we have this because of the first two. And so let me just share with you my philosophy of ministry, my philosophy of this biblical scriptures. I will also share this with you. Before I left this last time, and even since then, I've been talking with people. They say, we like the fact that you actually preach the Bible. Folks, that's all I preach. That's what I stand on. And that's where we're at. We're going to have multiple text areas today, like we do, but we just preach the Bible. And so we derive this sacrament and this time from the time that we read in the Bible. It's my understanding we've got people, do we have other people elsewhere outside of the sanctuary today? Can you help me, anybody? Other than Kyle, of course, I don't mean that, but because he's running sound. Okay, I think we're good. Sometimes we have people down the hall taking care of kids, but we want to make sure we get everybody. And let me also say this, we celebrate kids in the church services. I don't say that lightly. I was called to ministry age 6 years old when I heard a missionary speak. They'd have shoved me off into children's church about how to cut paper and have an art project. I would not have heard that missionary speak. And I think it's important that kids see and experience and partake in worship. Most people are called to some form of service for the rest of their life, not just the ministry, but with their life in certain areas when they're in elementary, middle, or high school. That's where they usually get it. That's just how it is. And so we're glad when we can have kids in the service, and we celebrate that. And we're glad for those who are older today. And when the older ones come too, they are our legacy that we want to remember. Kyle, do you have your elements? I want to do it before we go there. Okay, thank you. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he had gathered around the table. He would tell them that he was going to be betrayed. Each one of them said, is it I? Let me pause there a minute. If you're serving Jesus and then you walk away from your call, you trade in and just say, well, I don't feel called to that anymore, then that's a betrayal of Jesus. You're still called to serve Jesus. And he said, no. The one who dips it with me, and Judas did, and he told Judas, go do what you have to do, he came to do. And he was betrayed, and after Judas went out, then those that believed in him, not just about him, were there. And he took the bread that he had there, and it was unleavened bread. He took the bread, and he said this to them, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat all of it. And it was just to remember that he was about to be crucified, but that he would rise again. Take and eat it, please. After that, he took the cup. Now, it's extremely important for me to share this with you, and I do this every month, but that's okay. He took the cup, and it was new wine. In other words, the purest of pure, because he celebrated what was about to happen, his pure self to be slain on the cross. And he had the purest of pure. It was not fermented. It was not alcohol. And And he said, this is the cup that represents the blood that is broken for you, that is shed for you. Drink all of it. So drink it, please. Jesus, we have just celebrated, but we have also just remembered the price you paid, the things that you did for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would never betray you by failing to serve you with everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that comprises us. Our DNA to be transformed by you, our spiritual DNA transformed to be like you. We would ask, Lord, that you would be why we live. We would be crucified to Christ, and yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. We thank you, Lord, for each person that is watching by internet. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's going to upload it later. We thank you, Lord, for every person that is here. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get to the sermon, I would share this with you. Will Hayworth is a pastor from the church that we came from. He had open heart surgery. He was supposed to be there 5 days. He was still there quite a bit longer, and he just went home. He had to have tubes put in to drain fluid. And so that church is going through a time of holding it together. Jim Spade is an assistant pastor that's kind of, it's fallen to him. So I'm just going to ask you to lift up Grace Church of the Nazarene there in the Twin Cities area. Pastor Jim, as well as Pastor Will and all of the staff there, because they're going through it. And I share that, A, because we need to pray for each other, and B, it kind of fits into the sermon today. I want to share today a message that's really more about discipleship than it is about anything else. It is about surrender, it is about realization, it is about reflection, but it is also about going forward. You know, when you begin to do something new, it takes a lot of work. We found that out. M-O-V-E is a four-letter word for more reasons than one. You get T-I-R-E-D. You get exhausted. You get sore. You get worn out. You get angry. You get frustrated. And only when you're about ready to leave for the last time does the little flipper flapper for your garage door that has a code, the flipper flapper falls off. And my wife said, really? When we're leaving town? I wanted to take the sledgehammer, but I couldn't find it. You guys had brought it. No, those guys had loaded it, and you guys were going to unload it. Believe me. Moving. Transitions. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we move from point A to go to point B, there is going to be a sacrifice, but if it's God, as long as it is God-ordained, as tough as it can be, it is God-blessed and God-chosen. We cannot help but feel this is exactly where we should be for the rest of our ministry life. Could God change our minds in 438.6 years? Yes, but that might take that long to bring order out of chaos for the parsonage. And all of the movers said, amen. Believe me. At the same time, I want to come out of three passages of Scripture. One is in Isaiah, one is in Philippians, and one is in 1 Corinthians. And so buckle your seatbelts, here we go. I have shared with you that my operational verse passage for at least this year, if not the rest of my life, is found in Isaiah 43:19. But I want to do an exegetical study before we get there again this morning. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 43. I want to tell you this, folks. God has something new for each and every one of us. It is not something that you and I should forget of where we have been. It is not something that makes us say, God, do us from this point, but we don't have to think about it. There is still, though, the opposite thing, that we should not get stuck in that old thing of what happened then. Because if we live in the past, we'll be stuck in the present, and we will never get to go to the future. I am so glad, believe me, to be out of a state where the state bird is the mosquito. I don't mean to say they're big, but they sent 5 F-16s after one of them the other day. And it took all... No, they didn't either. I'm kidding. Mosquitoes. We've had 90-90 days. In other words, 90-plus temperature with 90% humidity. That's hot. And we're here. It's newness. We are not going to get stuck in the past. God has used us in wonderful ways. God has blessed us in wonderful ways. In the last church we pastored, Karen and I say we because it's a team effort. They went from $17,000 in the bank to over almost $50,000 in the bank and a complete new renovation program in 2 years. Miracle after miracle after miracle, and they were debt-free. That's not us, that's God. I'm not that rich, believe me. But yet God still came down. When the two of us walked in, we made more than a 20% increase. Or no, we had about a 20% increase that day. And they grew. Slow, steady growth. New paint, new carpet. I told them they ought to paint the walls Kentucky blue, and they didn't think that was very cool. I don't know what's wrong with those folks. But they didn't. New pew chairs. We had old pews so hard that even the younger generation didn't like sitting on them. You can't give those things away, but a man called when I put them on Facebook Marketplace. Let me tell you his story, and this is just simply to celebrate Jesus. He said, I wonder if you still have those pews left. And I said, sir, yes, sir, we do. He said, well, how much would you take for them? And I said, what are you offering? I was wanting him just to come get them because we didn't want to have to pay for them to be hauled off. He said, well, how many do you have? And I told him, he said, how about $500? Come get them. As a result of that and two donations, we had pew chairs bought for us with money in the bank. That's a God thing, no debt. I'm not saying get rid of our pew chairs. Believe me, these are a lot softer than the ones we had. And that's just some of the things. I truly believe if we operate in faith, God will be faithful to us. If we sacrifice, God will be rewarding of our sacrifice. And if we serve Jesus, he will deliver us in ways that we can never understand. In Isaiah chapter 43, it gives a bit of a diatribe of things that God wants them to remember. He shares with them of where they have been. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you. Do you know what value you have? You are not valued by the family you come from. You are not as valued by the job you have. You are valued because you are a living, breathing creation of the eternal God of heaven. And he has such eternal value in you and for you that you will never be able to understand it all. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And ladies and gentlemen, that is eternal value. One day we will step across the clouds and we will skip across the streets of glory. And we will be there with Jesus. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. I have a wife. I have two kids. I have grandparents. But I want to see Jesus first. And the value that we have is not centered in what we accomplish here. It is not centered in what we do here. It is centered in who we are here, whose we are here. And who, if we operate in that value of whose we are, then we will accomplish great things. Can I get an amen? Do you understand what I'm trying to share with you folks? God himself has value of you and me. When you pass through the flood, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. Do you see that when? You're going to do it. We as a church will do it. There's going to be tough stuff happening. It may be ongoing and it may be things you will have to face a lot of your life. But I will be with you. Because you are mine. I am your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. They're the ones that I went down on to deliver you. There are people who will mistreat you. There are people who will rip you off. There are people who will malign you. There are people who will steal from you. There are people who will not like you. Well, so what? I would rather be loved and liked by Jesus than some of these people in this world. And yet God will also come through and will restore and will redeem. You are my witness, declares the Lord. Verse 10, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may
know and believe me and understand that I am He. Who do we serve today? Who is the God that calls us from point A to point B with our life? Who is the God that says you are valuable? How much time do you thank God for who He is more than the God I need, I need, I need? I'm not saying don't do that. I have done it. Karen has done it these last 2 weeks especially. And let me pause a moment. Leadership team, 2 weeks ago we were gone, and Pastor Jim came and spoke for us, and the leadership team let me have the week that Sunday off so we could get ready for the move. We didn't get it done, and they said, you stay. You stay. Thank you to Pastor Jim, and thank you to Dave for leading last week as well in praise and worship and testimonies. I'd have been here last Saturday. And that's when Karen had the pre-stroke symptoms. Thank God I've been a CEN and an ACLS and a BLS and a bunch of other LSs and BSs and all kinds of stuff that we did. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that to implicate any cursing, just so many certifications. And it helped me recognize what was going on, and we were able to see God work a miracle and preempt it. Other than the move, no weakness. Speech clear, no deficits. People prayed. God delivered. She is here. When you pass through, I will be with you. I want to go to the main text of this passage for point one. Verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. That does not mean do not reflect on, but do not get stuck in. The greatest memories you have of what used to be, or are you doing and living in verse 19? I am, not I did, not I will, but I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, I really believe God could have us running over 60. Over 60. That is 24 people more than today. Just 24 people more than today. I've counted. I believe God could have us running 60 before Christmas, and on Christmas Sunday, we could be at 75 to 100. You see, we have the greatest doctrine. It is this, the Word of God. There are going to be those who will disagree with me, but that's okay. In the words of Jim Deal, they can be wrong. I believe this thing is inerrant. The Word of God is without error, because if the Word of God is with error, then the Son of God is with error, because it reveals an erroneous gospel. I'm not going there. This is what we live by. When we trade the inerrancy of Scripture, then we open up ourselves to relativism, an introduction of theological, quote-unquote, positions that are just so against the Bible, because then it begins to be a complete cascade and snowfall that becomes a cascade of just rolling down a mountain. I believe this. This is what we base it on. Do you not see it? Do you not understand it? God has such value in you as a disciple of Jesus that He created you for this purpose, for this day, for this time. And if you are here today and needing that church as I shared today, earlier, keep on coming back. You're going to lack it. If you're in internet land, I'm just going to just stop right now. If you're listening by internet and those who will upload it, you're welcome. We'll open the door. We have coffee and snacks before. But more than that, we have love and acceptance of Jesus. And you will be loved. We will call sin, sin. But we will still love you. Do you not see it? I am doing a new thing. For the second portion of the scripture, I want to go to Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It's basically a parallel scripture. A parallel scripture to this. From Isaiah to Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This one thing I do, forgetting what is past and straining toward what's ahead, I press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot get stuck in where we've been, but press on. Our focus is not multi-focus. Our singular focus is to be pressing on. We used to sing a song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New height I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Where are you at today? In your discipleship walk with Jesus, where are you at today? I've got to tell you, folks, as I go through things, I realize things about me that I want to be different. I don't ever want to be in 2 hours and 47 minutes what I am in this moment in time. I don't say that to be funny. I'm just using that as an example. This move has tested me, and I have not always done it well. But what I do know is that God wants to make something new of your pastor, but also of you. You see, pastoral leadership is not that you've arrived. Church membership is not that you've arrived. Attending church is not that you arrived. But what it says is you are connected so that together in discipleship, you take this journey together. And there will be times where it'll seem lonely, but there will be times also, like the two people on the road to Emmaus, you will encounter Jesus himself. We believe that the Word of God tells us everything we need to know for salvation. Does not tell us everything. And what I mean by that is, according even with the road to Emmaus, we only know the name of one of those two people. We don't know both. It didn't tell us both. But what it did tell us is they encountered Jesus, that he was alive. This one thing I do, forgetting what is past, not being stuck in what we've done before, not being stuck in the numbers we used to run and say, and now we can't, and we aren't. No, we can. But more than that, we can exceed what God has done in the past and overcome and become greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world and go out and do great things for Jesus. Why? Because he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. That's biblical. That's passages of Scripture. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Forgetting what is past, I strain its work. It's breaking off everything behind us. And is being taken into the newness. Streams in the desert. I am doing a new thing. Not will, am. Do you not understand? Even in the midst of where we go from here, I am doing a new thing. Next week, the leadership team and I will meet. We are going to continue to plan, not in what do we overcome, but how do we go from here and where do we go from here to be great for Jesus. That he is lifted up, that he is glorified, that he is the focus, that he is who we are serving and not we ourselves. What are you remembering? What are you looking for? What are you looking to? The new thing? For our last text, I want us, if you would, to turn to 1 Corinthians 16. The book of Corinthians, both of them, are to a very carnal church. And in the midst of that, Paul writes to the saints that are at the church. He has excoriated them in 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians. They have had lawsuits. They have had men sleeping with their mothers. They have had all kinds of nasty stuff going on. And Paul says, throw them out. Do not let sin dwell in the church. Let me pause a minute there. Jesus had someone come to him, a younger man, very rich. And what must I do to be saved? Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. The man went away. Jesus didn't go after him and say, now, what about that did you not like? How can we keep you here? What can you do to follow me? He didn't. In Corinthians church, they threw the man out because of his sin, but he evidently wanted to come back. We will not always get them back, but what we will do is do it in grace and just say, we love you. We will not wink at sin, but we will say this. Jesus loves you, this we know, for our Bible tells us so. Because they do. Our Bibles tell us that. And Jesus loves them. You have value. All have value. So much value that Satan came to destroy it, but Jesus came to redeem us. Paul is toward the end of the entire book of 1 Corinthians. He has shared with them about everything. This is now where he is going into his farewell address to the book of, or to the church in Corinth. We are in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Some verses say, some translations say, quit like men. In other words, no quit. This is our mission. We do not leave without finishing our mission. This is our hill to take. We do not walk off of this hill. This is the call of God. We are not walking away from this call of God. Karen and I know a couple in the Twin Cities that he is saying, I just don't know that I feel called to pastor anymore. God's calling and election is without repentance, folks. He does not change his call on your life. I don't know what you've been called to do before. I don't know how God has prepared you for what he's got prepared for you, but I am going to say this. What God has prepared you for, he is prepared to do, deal with you and in you and through you, and he called you for a purpose. Quit like men. And I will say this. Yesterday we had men and women on the team, but Carla, you can work a farmhand under a table. That lady unloaded all but the heaviest of furniture, a lot of that, and we were trying to keep up with her. Quit you like men. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Be strong. As we're praying this week, I want you to continue to pray for Pastor Dave Lutz and his family, the DS. He lost his stepdad, and yesterday was a funeral, and today starts the district assembly. Talk about jammed together. Wow. And it hasn't even been a year, I don't think, since he lost his mother. It might be a little more than that, but he is still in or just after his year first with his mom, and now he's doing it again. And he's leading a district assembly together with the general superintendent, but it falls to him. I'm going to ask you to remember him and his family and for this district assembly. And I'm going to ask you to lift him up in prayer like never before. The job of an executive state elder of a state in another denomination association, or the job of a DS in a lot of other denominations, is a thankless job. You can't do anything right. You always do it wrong. And occasionally you get to have some fun and preach. It's tough. And yet it is such rewarding work. And it's his call. It shows everywhere he's at. He pastors the pastors. So I'm going to ask you to pastor him this week. Quit you like men and be strong for him. But also in your life, be watchful. The devil is sneaking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And a lot of denominations, they are accepting, they are affirming, not just the homosexuals, LGBTQ, ... and all the other stuff they want to put after the Q. They're not just affirming that they're creations of God and they are loved by God like we will do. They are saying, come on in, we'll just scoot over. Like I said, we will not wink at sin. We will love them as Christ loved them. But we must stand for holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord. No person will see the Lord is the actual rendering there. Be watchful. Finally, in this verse, stand firm in your faith. Not just about it. Yeah, that's the faith of Christianity. In construction, we pour a footer. On the footer, we put the foundation. And on the foundation, we put the wood or the metal of which will form the walls. Everything is based on that footer. If the footer is not there, or if the footer is weak, everything is weak. Stand firm in your footer. In faith. Now the sermon in a sentence. Discipleship will cost everything, but it's free. Discipleship will cost everything, but it's free. Jesus paid it all. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. David, do you know the song, I Can Hear My Savior Say? I'll do it. There's a song that goes like this. I can hear my Savior say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Sing it with me if you know. Find in me your all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Sing that chorus with me, please. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me. He washed me white as snow. Where you at? Who do you really serve? Are you built on the footer? Discipleship costs everything, but it's free. Jesus paid it all. Lord, we have people standing all over this auditorium. Some can't stand, and you know that, and their hearts are standing. They just can't. But God, grace. And as we stand in our hearts as well as stand in our bodies and those at home standing, whether they're on the couch or whatever, I pray, Lord, that we would stand firm in our faith, that we would be strong, that we would not give in, that we would be watchful, and that we would not give up. we would quit like men and take this hill for Jesus, this hill of our discipleship. I'm going to ask if there's anyone here today that just wants a special close prayer this week for their discipleship. Heads bowed, I don't want anyone, and I mean this, I do not want anyone looking around. I don't say it to be trite. But I'm going to ask you that, so that as Karen and I are at assembly this week, almost said conference, but at assembly this week, that we could pray for Yao. If you want prayer for your discipleship, for anything, whether it's about family, body that needs healed, etc., anything, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We have hands all over this auditorium. I want you to put them down. No one looking around. And I want you all to join with me as I pray that you pray for these dear folks too. Would you please? Jesus, there's folks that have raised their hands that need special prayer, whether it's healing or discipleship or about anything in their Christian walk. I just pray, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would draw them up to you and that you, Lord, would make them new. They would perceive it. They would be watchful. They would stand firm in their faith. They would not give up and they would be strong. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it. Amen. Before you go, I just...
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.